The Lysistrata is a play written by Aristophanes of Athens in 411 BC about how the women of Greece, tired of the Peloponnesian War that had been going on for probably about 30 years at that point, decided that they themselves would put an end to it by going on an intimacy strike with their husbands until they brought the war to an end. Now, I'm not going to tell you the details of the play because, frankly, it's not safe for work, and I'm trying to be clean on this channel, so I'll let you look up the details of it in your own time. But in the play, it works, and eventually the men capitulate, make a peace, and are allowed to return to their wives. In reality, that's not what happened. What actually happened is that Athens was defeated at sea by Sparta and eventually capitulated and had their walls torn down. But the point of the Lysistrata is to show that there could be some kind of sisterhood that could have political change. And that appears to be what we're dealing with now. Welcome to the 4B movement, which is apparently some kind of left-wing feminist movement in which women decide that they are going to abstain from having sex. Now, TikTok has been absolutely flooded with women, Western American women, who, in the wake of the victory of Donald Trump, have decided they are not going to have sex with men, they are not going to marry men, they are not going to bear children for men, etc., etc. And I find it really fascinating, because what they're threatening to do is essentially act in a conservative manner. Many of them were shaving their heads and saying, right, that's it, I'm swearing off men forever. But others were just posting things like this.
All right. 4B movement starting. You know what we're gonna do? We're not gonna dye our hair anymore. We're not gonna do makeup. We're not gonna use filters. We're not gonna go get the skin stuff. We're not gonna dress up and look nice. Why? So that they can come and act like they own us because we look like this? Absolutely not. No, y'all. The 4B movement means like we gonna be cozy comfy in our own skin. And everyone over here is like, yeah, get strapped, get ready, get prepared. But you know what? It's fine. Let's go. Bring it on. You want to fight? I'm ready to fight. Like, dueling, let's do this, okay? But at the same time, like, I'm sorry. You do not have control over my reproductive rights. You do not have control over my body. You do not have control over what I do with my body.
Right. So to prove that men don't have control of what women do with their bodies, she's going to dress modestly, act modestly, and not present herself as being promiscuous to own men, and specifically to own conservative men. But this was the moderate view of the 4B movement. The more extreme view was women shaving their hair, filming it, and again, there were thousands of these on TikTok, in order to essentially divest themselves from having relationships with men, and therefore shaving their head makes them unattractive, which means men won't approach them, which means that they will effectively become a kind of modern day nun, where they go off to the virtual nunnery and become brides of Jesus, or brides of Andrea Dworkin in this case. I'm not sure this had the effect that they expected, to be honest, because of course lots of people were like, well look, you're not gonna act in a promiscuous way because you won't be able to get an abortion, which, I mean, that's not the case. Trump isn't going to ban abortion. The abortion decisions are going to be put to the states because Roe v. Wade was overturned because it was bad precedent. And so you will still be able to get abortions. But anyway, beside the point, they've got it in their minds that now Trump has won, Project 2025 is going to come into view and that's it. No abortions. And therefore, they're like, okay, well, I'm not going to be promiscuous anymore, as if that was a good thing. And so people are just like, well, you didn't have to. It was always an option not to be promiscuous and get abortions, actually. And in fact, it would have been preferable. You may remember Hillary Clinton advertising abortion in the 90s as being safe, legal, and rare. Well, that's what people wanted. They were like, okay, fair enough, that's the compromise. I guess it can be safe and legal as long as you keep it rare. And these women were like, why should I keep it rare? Which, I mean, sounds monstrous when you say it like that, but that's where we're at. And obviously, lots of people began mocking this, being like, wow, you're on a sex strike. How terrible. Oh no, please stop. And the scary conservative Project 2025 men were like, we're not even in office and we're already winning. We're already getting the libs to do what we want them to do. Sir, liberal women have agreed to stop reproducing. It's working. Remarkable. Just a remarkable turn of events. How as soon as you put the foot down and say, no, that's just it, and we're going to vote entirely no, essentially, to left-wing politics, then they start falling into line. Isn't that fascinating? And you get lots of feminists, such as Cecile Simmons here, writing for The Guardian. After Trump's election, women are swearing off sex with men. This has been a long time coming. Okay, hang on, calm down. This isn't actually the Liz Strata reborn, or brought to life, thousands of years later. I mean, you say it's a long time coming. Yeah, 2,500 years, actually. These women aren't married, most of them probably, and maybe promiscuity isn't great. Just a quick thing. But what I enjoy is the way, I mean, most of this article is just her whining about rote feminist talking points that they've been repeating since 2014. And frankly, what's really interesting about this is they make it sound like MGTOW and the men's rights movement, Andrew Tate, and various other misogynists, although maybe not in very quotes to Andrew Tate, have won. As far as they're concerned, no, it's complete victory for the forces of misogyny, and therefore now we're going to have to stop having sex with men. It's like, okay. Well, I'm married, I don't care. It's not my problem at all. And she says, moving away from men might be a needed defense mechanism for women. I mean, this is why, through the Middle Ages, you had nunneries, you had convents, where there were women who didn't want to be engaged in relationships with men, and they would withdraw into religion. And this is the modern incarnation of that. And it happens to be part of the giant salt harvesting mission from the 2024 elections that we've been engaging in. In fact, if you'd like to engage in more of it, come over to losis.com, go and watch our latest Lads Hour, which is about the total Trump victory, where everyone's getting put into the crystals because, and all, I realise it's lowbrow. Normally we do really highbrow work over at Lotus Eaters, but come on, give us a break. This is A, Lads Hour is like The View for Men, so we just have fun on it. And B, there was just so much salt, we couldn't not bring in the bountiful harvest. But I thought, okay, so this 4B movement, very interesting, very hilarious, great fun. But where's it from? And it turns out it's South Korean in origin. Now, I don't know much about South Korean politics, but what I do know is that it's completely racked by what are essentially Western culture war problems. And we seem to have completely exported modern feminism over there. It seems to have totally destroyed gender relations in that country. And now the feminists in this country are trying to bring back one of the things that they've developed. And the 4B movement is one of those things that they developed. So the 4Bs, as we are told, the B stand for the Korean word no, right? And they are no dating, no sex, no marriage, no children. Okay, go and join the nunnery. I don't care. If you are going to be that way, fair enough. And the thing that really gave this force in South Korea, as far as I'm aware, is the kind of strict patriarchal environment of Oriental countries, which, fair enough, quite different from ours. I don't know how justified or unjustified this is, but I'm not really in favour of it in any way, shape or form, and I can't help but feel that maybe this has been a bit overblown. But this emerged, as I said, in the mid to late 2010s, closely related to other feminist trends in South Korea. South Korea is a very online country, and this in feminist chat rooms and message boards began flourishing, and to the point where it's literally destroying the birth rate in this country. And I mean, as according to one researcher from a Catholic gender university, a potent mix of economic insecurity and systemic gender inequality created fertile ground for the movement to take root. Living an alternative life without men emerged as a radical strategy for young digital feminists to challenge the rigid patriarchy of South Korea. Well, the older I get and the more children I have, the more I'm in favour of rigid patriarchies, to be honest. Anyway, so just diving into South Korea a little bit. Like I said, I don't know anything. So I Googled a bit and I found a very interesting 2016 a Wikipedia article about the 2016 political scandal of Park Geun-hye. I'm pronouncing this probably horrifically badly. And I skimmed through it and I was like, okay, what am I supposed to take away from this? Oh, a Rasputin-esque mystery woman in a cultish religion could take down South Korea's president. Right. Okay. Weird. Like I said, I haven't done a huge amount of research on this, and at some point I may well do a deep dive on it. But this looks like an insane rabbit hole to go down. But I mean, if you just go to the Wikipedia article and look at the sentencing, you see, oh, right, so this is basically women all conspiring to advance women. And apparently this is like eight goddesses conspiring with the president. Anyway, she ends up going to jail. The government ends up collapsing. Right. Fast forward a couple of years, and the Politicos, as in Politico magazine, are realizing that young men are swinging hard right in Korea. Oh, are they really? So they had like a feminist government, an insane radical feminist government. It took over. It started being really corrupt. And it started attacking men en masse, the entire country, basically. It started attacking men. And so men just started going insanely right-wing. Far more right-wing than men in the West are. So, okay, well, I'm sure that's going to really improve things. I mean, again, just the way that they describe it, and again, I'm from the outside, so I don't know, but the way that it's described is it is a raging political gender war, right? And so in Korea, they say, arguably the most wired country as an online country, the online forums become a battleground for dating, violence, gaming industry, and systemic sexism. So it looks like Gamergate has basically taken over this entire country, right? And so you had a populist candidate called Yoon Suk-yeol, the conservative candidate and avowed anti-feminist, declared that structural discrimination based on gender does not exist. I don't know, but I'm going to guess, given the feminist track record of accusing civilizations of having structural disadvantages for women, that it doesn't. He pitched that to young men, and this is the message that Korea's young men really want to hear. Even if it wasn't true, when it comes to gender parity, Korea consistently ranks near the bottom of most developed nations. Yes, but that doesn't mean it's systemic discrimination. I'm not relitigating these goddamn arguments from 2016. You lost those arguments, which is why you lost this election. But you knew what he was doing. He was speaking directly to young men who felt left behind by a tough economy and who are unhappy for the rapid push for gender equality. Right, so radical feminism took over this country, acted in a bunch of really corrupt ways. They had essentially what seems to be their own Gamergate. Again, stop me if I'm getting any of this wrong. Leave a note in the comments. No, you've got that wrong. You need to go back and search this, this, and this. Good, because like I said, I don't know anything about South Korean politics. But what this looks like from the outside is essentially it was a country-sized Gamergate event, and they ended up voting for this anti-feminist, like the South Korean Sargon of Akkad, to be their president. And he got the presidency with a razor-thin margin of 0.7 points. Fucking incredible. Absolutely incredible, right? And you can see why this sort of thing's happening. I mean, look at this fertility rate. South Korea has the lowest fertility rate in the world. It is genuinely what looks like a dying society. And you've got, like, finger-pinching conspiracy theory. Again, apparently, in feminist media, mocking men's manhoods and stuff like that. I don't know. Like I said, it's a massive rabbit hole. But this is what the 4B movement is coming out of, right? Radical political lesbianism to spite men because in it a bunch of insane feminists managed to take over an entire nation. So it was quite a surprise to find in the New York Times this article from 2 days ago. A sex strike is a losing strategy for American women. Wow, some common sense. Looking at South Korea, do you want that, Americans? Do you want your country to turn into a non-stop, permanent, nationwide Gamergate? Probably not. Probably not good. And so they say, well, some women are already devising plans. Yeah, whatever. You know, their rage is understandable, but a 4B-style reaction is not constructive or sustainable. Nor is it likely that enough American women are going to go for it, because remember, American women broke for Trump. Something like 54% of white American women went for Trump, and about 40% of Latinos as well. So lots and lots and lots of women in America went for Trump, and they started making Trump cool and hip and normal, because really he does. Trump represents American normalcy, hence the picture of him at McDonald's, hence the picture of him in the garbage truck, hence him just being him. He was a fixture of pop culture. MAGA is the movement of normal Americans saying, no, we're good and we like our country and we're going to make it great again. What a wholesome thing. What a healthy thing. And so even the New York Times are like, the 4B philosophy is short-sighted, primarily because it demonizes men, including those who champion reproductive equality and freedom. No, it's just bad because it demonizes men. It demonizes half a goddamn population based on lies, right? Again, as all feminist movements have done since the dawn of time, they lie. And they are turning women into modern-day nuns. Like neo-feminist nuns who now have to shave their heads and go live in a digital convent, never finding happiness, never finding a partner that they love, never having children. Now, a cynical person would be like, well, it's a good thing they've been taken out of the gene pool, but I actually would like it if everyone had a good life and they were happy. I actually don't want people to be trapped in this kind of nightmare feminist cult that apparently South Korea has been trapped in for like the last decade or so. It sounds absolutely comical and totally ridiculous. And you can see that they're like, look, don't be like that. Trump's election should spur American feminists to address gendered grievances in ways that could be more materially effective. As in, we can't really be mental. And really, we've got everything we want. We want everything apart from in about half the states in America, we can't just arbitrarily kill our babies if we get pregnant. So maybe we should just be a bit more conservative, and that might work.